Welcome to Eagle Eye.
What a break from Manoa.
Interviewing your favorite USA Eagles around the globe.
Tony Limbaugh into the 22.
Now, here's your host, Bill Baker.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to Eagle Eye. Thank you for listening to this episode. I say listen because I had some technical issues on my end during this interview with Tony Lamborn. Let's just say he looked a little bit like Max Headroom. Yeah, look it up. 1980s Max Headroom. Anyway, I was able to get Tony real quick. We really went deep into what a lot of people are asking about, his current status, his current contract status. Why hasn't he received a Super Rugby contract? But as you hear after you listen to this interview, Tony has a lot of opportunities ahead of him. So it's a matter of deciding what to do and what's best path for him. But, I mean, the only way he's not getting a contract is if he and his son get busted for breaking and entering. You'll know what I'm talking about. Also, we go into the Stag season. He had an amazing season with the team. And I ask him a bit about what it feels to be recognized by his peers and fans alike. So hope you enjoy the interview.
How are you?
Good, how are you?
I'm good. I'm just, we've only just got home and there was a big balls up because my wife took both sets of keys, so I couldn't get into the house. The house is locked. So because my 4-year-old Jack he's smart and he's small, so I just chucked him through the window and he knew to go down to the end of the house and unlock the door.
Sounds like a partnership in crime waiting to happen right there.
Oh mate, he looked at me and he's like, "We can make a lot of money from doing this, you know."
So first of all, you know, you're doing well. You just had your kid event now. Is that one of the first school events you've done with your kids?
Yeah, I mean, we had one on Sunday. That was more of a church event. So we did that. He did a little performance at the church, and he loves being on stage in front of everyone. So he's got no fear, no shame. So he's confident as. And then, yeah, and then we had another one today. So we just got home. We've been rushing around and didn't have the time to make any lunch, so it was just like, right, McDonald's it is. And
well, talking rugby, Tony, you know, congrats on a really good Mitre 10 season. It seemed to be a bit of a breakout season for you, even at 29 years old.
Yeah, I think you're right, Bill. I just found a bit of confidence. You know, I just found a new set of wheels and some confidence, and you know, being given the job of being a captain kind of was a little bit daunting at the start. But then, you know, once I got there and kind of got my head around things and got some confidence, then, you know, I was away firing. And I think it showed on the field. You know, I led by example, and I just knew that, look, all captains need to be just leading by example on the field and off the field, obviously. But going on the field, I think it's just, yeah, just giving everything 100%, and then, you know, there's no fingers being pointed, and it's like every, you know, the week leading up to games, I've got, you know, I can't have people saying, "Oh, you didn't try your hardest in that," but everyone knows that I put 110% into everything I did. So that was the best thing, and I think that's just, and then it just showed into my performance. You could see it on the field.
Yeah. So do you think it might have been a mix of you with the weight in your shoulders as a captain, but also, well, when we last spoke, you talked, when you went into Blues camp, you were out of shape. You know, was that kind of a wake-up moment for you as well?
Yeah, definitely. Look, I mean, I was out of shape, and then it took me a couple of weeks to kind of to get back to fit, to normal game fitness, and to lose about 3 or 4 kilos. the trainers put me on a pretty strict diet and training regime. So, no, I was getting into it. And I think I let myself down. Look, it was just like the whole COVID thing took me by surprise, and I didn't really expect it all to happen, really. And like, I didn't really expect us to get back to training, to be honest. Like, you hear about all the other comps in the world being postponed and stuff like that. So I was like, oh well, we're not going to be playing. But hey, you know, it took me by surprise, and I think I just won't ever do that again, that's for sure. And came out of the Super Rugby season extremely fit, and you know, I think I had a week off, maybe 2 weeks off between Super and the Mitre 10 Cup season. So in those 2 weeks, look, I was still doing training and stuff like that, because I wanted to make sure when I went up there, I was fit and leading by example.
You somewhat missed out a bit on the league MVP, but your performance didn't go unnoticed by teammates and peers. You know, Stack of the Year, Players Player of the Year, Supporter of the Player of the Year. You know, so what does that mean to you to be recognized by your fans and peers alike?
Yeah, I mean, that's a huge achievement. And look, I'm extremely honored and very proud of myself, to be honest. I think, I kind of, like you said, you know, going into the super season unfit and stuff really kind of gave me a little shake, you know. It's like, you can't be doing that again. You need to be like a real professional. And I thought it just bring. I just think it just brought the best out of me, you know. And I think just going into any team now, any camp, anything like that, I'm just going to be ready mentally and physically. And I think it just showed on the field. Look, I just wanted to, like I said before, I wanted to give it 110% every week. And I just was extremely passionate about the team, you know. I wanted to win for the team. I wanted to be the best leader I could for the team. And I think when you put all those things together, it's hard not to play really well. And I think it's hard not to get noticed.
So looking forward now, Tony, so in the news, the press, you know, there's a lot of fans have wondered what's going on with Tony Lamborn. We haven't seen any word of a Super Rugby contract. You know, have you been offered one? If so, you know, why haven't you accepted it? You know, what are we looking at right now? What is your status right now?
Oh, look, I don't want to give too much away, Bill, but there's some Super Rugby stuff there. It's just so they've already selected their teams, and there's teams wanting me to come in for the preseason and do that with them, and I've said, look, no, I'm not going to do that. It's all or nothing. Like, I want a full contract or I don't. I've been playing too long now just to go in there and hold a hit shield and get absolutely thrashed every week. I mean, look, I mean, the money's still great and all of that. But look, it's just too hard on my body just to be doing that. And it's just not rewarding enough. You know, I need if I'm going to be training in that, I want to be fighting for a position to be playing, and to know that you're just going in there to add a number. But at the moment, it's difficult being a foreign player. There's only allowed two foreign players in each team, and pretty much every super team at the moment in New Zealand has their two foreign players. That's the main reason why I didn't get a contract, Super Rugby. Look, like, they've all teams basically have said to my agent that, look, we literally can't fit Tony in. We think he'd be a great addition. We think he had a great season. We literally, in the rules, cannot fit him in. So there's that. And then, so at the moment, I'm going back and forth with New Zealand Rugby. Well, my agent is going back and forth with New Zealand Rugby. So the Hollands have signed the Japanese number 8.
Yeah.
So he's an international, but by the sounds of things, he's maybe not going to get his visa into the country. So then, therefore, they'll tear up his contract. Basically, he'll just play in the Japanese competition. Then they're saying that I'm their number one option to then replace his. So it'll be a foreign player for another foreign player type of thing, pretty much.
Right.
And then I've got some other stuff overseas that I've been offered. Some pretty big teams over in the UK want me to go over now and finish off their they just want me to go and finish off their seasons over there for them. Talking to a couple Japanese teams about their season for the following season. My performance this year hasn't gone unnoticed, which has been pleasing. I know a lot of fans and that are kind of wondering what's going on, why hasn't he got a contract, but if they knew the details of it all, then they probably would understand. So at the moment, Bill, I'm sitting and being quite patient. I think I've signed I've signed all of my visa applications to go to the UK. So if the Highlanders thing doesn't show up, then I will more than likely be on a plane within the next couple of weeks over there. So yeah,
So you have options right now. So you do have options. So you're not sitting around thinking, okay, what am I going to do for 6 months? You've got options now.
No, I've got options right now. Yeah, and also I've got MLR options as well.
Right.
So, you know, who knows? You could see me in the MLR, who knows? But I think I still believe I'm playing at a really high level of rugby, and I think I want to be trying to be honest, and there's no disrespect to the MLR. I just think that there's high quality competitions around the world that I can be playing in before I start playing some MLR. And that's no disrespect to it. I just think it's still growing. It's definitely getting better, and I have all belief in the MLR and the USA Union. I think that they're doing a fantastic job, and it's only getting better and better. So I definitely see myself playing there in the future, but just not yet.
No, and I completely get that. I mean, it's MLR, like you said, is going to get there. But for a number of players, at least for USA select players, to be able to play over in Europe, that's going to be there forever. Because also, the salaries are still there more than it would be in MLR. So, I mean, I wish you luck with that. I do hope you land somewhere soon. I know how it's going to be even tougher on you because what we talked about beginning of the interview with, you know, the kids and the family and all that stuff. So,
yeah.
So, but that's your job. You signed up for it.
That's right. And that's what I say to my wife. Hey, look, you signed up for this. So you signed up for this. So it's follow me around the world or you don't. Follow me around the world or you don't.
There you go. All right, Tony, listen, that's it. I really appreciate you jumping on with me. And, you know, again, just like we did today, I hope we can jump on board and talk again soon.
Appreciate it.
All right, buddy, cheers.
All the best, Bill. See ya.